Excellent song. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I have a message this evening that I hope will be of interest to all of you, and I think it will be of interest to all of you and to all of you who are watching by way of the internet. And if you aren't interested in it, I hope that God will give you an interest in the message that I want to bring you this evening. I know I'm speaking to some people who have a great confidence of your everlasting salvation in Christ Jesus. He is your all. He's all of your wisdom. He's all of your righteousness. He's all of your sanctification. And he's all of your redemption. And you understand from the Word of God, you are complete in him. And you have a blessed assurance that the Lord Jesus is indeed your glorious Savior, and you are forever safe in him. Oh, blessed assurance to be able to say by the witness of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is mine and I'm his. He knows me, and therefore I know him. He has loved me from old eternity. And he, through the gospel, has brought me to love him. And I have cast my poor soul with all of its neediness upon the mighty, mighty Savior. And I am in him quite confident that I'm safe. I'm safe through this life. And I'll be safe forever. That's a blessed assurance. So I believe I'm speaking to some people who you understand your assurance is not based upon what you feel, but it's based upon what God has said. God said, he that hath the Son hath life. And if you have the Son of God, you have the life that only God can give, and it is a life that will never die. I'm also speaking, I suspect, to some people who believe on the Son of God, but you find yourself often doubting the reality of your salvation. If I ask you, indeed, if you asked yourself, am I a believer? You would say yes. But I'll tell you, my faith is weak. I don't believe him like I ought to. And perhaps you even say, I look within, searching for some evidence of a saving relationship with God. I look within looking for some good works, some godliness, some evidences of salvation, and I find none. Let me tell you something. If God honestly enables you to look within, you will only see something that is very disappointing. You're not going to see that goodness that perhaps you expected to find. We find sin in all that we do. I caution you, if you look within only to examine the very foundation of your faith. You see, You and I, who are believers, we are still sinful people. There's just no question about that. There's nobody who is a perfect Christian in our experience. I know in Christ we're perfect. I know that. I know God sees us in His Son. God sees us in the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience all the way up to and including His death has been imputed to us. We're made the very righteousness of God in Him. But we must say, if we're honest, like Paul did in Romans chapter 7, I find that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I say, look within to examine your foundation. What are you building on? Rather, who are you building all your hopes for eternity upon? The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. If I know my heart, and I know the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but if God has given me, and I believe He has, if He has given me honesty to evaluate my standing before Him, I must say, Lord, all that I am and all that I hope to be is all in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I have no other righteousness. I don't have any righteousness of my own, and I know that's what God demands. God doesn't demand the best we can do. God demands perfection. Leviticus 22:21 says it shall be perfect to be accepted. I've got to be perfect, and I am perfect in Christ Jesus. And as I look within, I see a hideous monster within me called sin still. So I tell you, preacher, when I look within myself, I see somebody that is doing pretty good. Well, you see yourself in wrong light then. I remember hearing Brother Barnard say, be honest. Honest people don't wind up in hell. People who are honest with themselves from the Word of God will be forced to say and acknowledge with grief, yes. With sorrow, yes. With tears, yes. With a broken heart, yes. But will be forced to say, I'm still just a sinner. A sinner saved by grace. That's what I am. So I'm persuaded, I'm talking to some people who have a solid confidence of your hope in Christ. I'm speaking to others, perhaps more than the first group, who say, and in honesty, you say, well, sometimes I lack that assurance. If we sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, I'd have to say Blessed Assurance sometimes. Sometimes I have Blessed Assurance that Jesus is mine. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Your salvation is not dependent upon your faithfulness, but upon the faithfulness of God. He is faithful to His covenant. He is faithful to always see us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, that one who is the surety, the mediator of the new covenant. God sees us in Christ. Oh God, give me faith that I may see myself in Christ. And then I'll have peace. I'll have peace. And then there's a third group that I'm preaching to, and I suspect there's somebody here like this. Maybe somebody on the internet who's watching, or somebody who's listening to this message later on. And you don't have any confidence of your salvation in Christ Jesus whatsoever. You don't have any faith. You don't have any peace. The things that we talk about, the gospel we sing about, the Lord Jesus Christ whom we brag on, the blood of the Savior that is so very, very precious to us, the righteousness of the Son of God that we make our boast in, these things have little to no interest to you. I say this to you. I pray that God will get a hold of your heart and do something for you that He's done for most of us here tonight. He'll stir us up. Stir you up to faith in Christ Jesus. Well, Jim, do you think there's one message that'll help us no matter what? I do. The subject is forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. We all need forgiveness. Because this is what we all have in common, sin. I don't care who you are, who are watching. We have a lot of differences, male and female, and various stations in life. But we all got this in common, we're sinners. We're sinners. And we need forgiveness of sins. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22 says, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. All means everybody, all of Adam's race. By nature, we're all under sin. What does it mean to be under sin? Under the dominion of sin. Under the authority of sin. Under the control of sin. We're all under sin. You say, but Jim, I'm a child of God. I'm thankful for that. But you still got a sin problem. Say, but my sins are paid for. Yes. Yes, they've been paid for. But you still struggle with sin every single day. Because sin isn't just, first of all, it isn't what we do. It's what we are. That's the problem. There's the guilt of sin. And sin isn't just the things that you do, it's in your thoughts. Are your thoughts pure? Do you only have pure thoughts? Do you only have pure imaginations? You don't want people to know what you're thinking. I don't want people to know what I'm thinking. Because you see, really, even the children of God, though our sins have been forgiven and we're not the slaves of sin anymore, we're the servants of righteousness. But the people of God are honestly seeking Christ every day and looking to Him every day because we still have a sin problem. I know they're paid for. But in our experience, we have struggles all the time. It isn't a matter, have I sinned today? It isn't a question of, have I sinned since I've been in here tonight? Because you see, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Uh-oh. That means we're in trouble. We're in a heap of trouble, even as children of God. I mean, we're not in trouble of punishment or suffering the penalty for sin. But we know in our heart of hearts, we're just sinners. Like the fellow said, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. In verse 7, we read this, Ephesians 1:7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What a sweet thought. The forgiveness of sins, and that's on account of or according to the riches of his grace. You know, there's an occasion, and you don't have to turn to it, but our Lord one day, he was invited by a Pharisee for supper. I want you to come over for a meal. And the Lord said, I will. So he went over to this Pharisee's house, and they sat down to eat. And as he was eating, and as the man, his name was Simon, as he was eating and the master was eating, a woman slipped in. I guess she heard that the Lord Jesus was going to be there, and she had an alabaster box of precious ointment. And she slipped in, and they were kind of leaning on their arms and eating with their feet out kind of to the side and to the back. And she slipped in, and she knelt down at the Savior's feet. And she began to weep. I like what I believe it was Hawker said, those are heart tears. She began to weep, and she washed his feet with her tears and then wiped his feet with her hair. And then she took that precious ointment and she anointed his feet. And everybody in the room was blessed on account of that because it gave such a wonderful fragrance. There's Simon sitting at the head of the table. He's a Pharisee, full of self-righteousness. He thought to himself, "Tell you, this man, if he were a prophet, if he were, he'd know what kind of woman this is that is at his feet because she's a sinner." Now, no thought is ever hidden from our Savior. He reads all of us like an open book. And he read the thoughts of Simon. He said, Simon, I got something I want to say to you. I want to tell you a little story. Simon said, say on. Let's hear it. And the Lord said, there's a man who was a creditor. And he had two people who owed him money. And I'm going to just change the wording here a little bit. One of them owed him $500. And the other one owed him $50. And neither one of them had any means by which to pay him. Not the one who owed $500. Not the one who owed $50. And the man just forgave them their indebtedness, both of them. You owe me $500? I've written it off. Don't worry about it. It's done. You don't owe me another dime. One who owed $50. Don't worry about it. You don't owe me anything. Consider it paid in full. I'm forgive you both of them. Forgive you both. And the Savior asked Simon, he said, which of these two loved that creditor the most, do you think? Simon kind of cleared his throat and said, well, I suppose the one who's forgiven $500. And the Lord said, you've judged correctly. He said, Simon, do you see this woman at my feet? See what she's doing? You know, I've come into your house because you invited me to eat. You didn't wash my feet. But she's washed my feet with her tears. And she's dried my feet with the hair of her head. And you didn't anoint me with oil, but she's anointed my feet with oil. You gave me no kiss, but she keeps on kissing my feet, honoring me. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, she's the one in debt for $500. As it were, using his illustration. Said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And she loves me much. But you don't think much of me, do you, Simon? Because you consider yourself to be the one who is in the least debt. You don't see the seriousness of your sin problem, but she does. And that's why she's at my feet. And you're sitting here in your self-righteous arrogance. And then he said to the woman, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, what blessed words. What blessed words. And the people who were eating with them said this, who is this that forgives sin too? He does all these miracles, and now he has forgiven her sin. Who can forgive sins but one? That's God. You've got that right. And that's who forgives sins. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us of all of our sins through his bloody death upon the cross of Calvary. Let me just say a few things about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a magnificent blessing. In fact, in that passage of Scripture Joe read to us there in Ephesians chapter 1, forgiveness is listed with other tremendous blessings. Chosen in Christ, divine election, predestination unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, and then redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, which results in the forgiveness of sins. This is no little thing. It's no little thing for God to forgive you of your sins. What did it take for God to forgive us of our sins? Well, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. And your repentance and confession of sins, that can't do it. When you say to the Lord, I'm sorry I have sinned against you, you being sorry, that's not going to mean forgiveness of your sins. That can't do it. It's the blood of the Son of God. That's what it took. Weigh the enormity of our guilt by the tremendous price it took for God to forgive us in a righteous way. Now you can be sure of this. In this matter of forgiveness, God will not compromise His law and His justice. He can't do that. The soul that sinned it shall die. And like I said this morning, and I said all the time, every preacher of the gospel does, this is why Christ had to die. This is why God had to deal so severely with Him to deal with our sin problem. And if, in order for us to have the forgiveness of sins, now you think about it, in order for God to forgive us, the Son of God, the Eternal One, the very majesty of glory, He had to come down here to this earth, join Himself to flesh. You see, God's invisible. God can't die. God can't suffer. God can't bleed. So God came down here and joined Himself to our humanity. And that's a union that will never end, I might add. He's still the God-man. And the God-man lived on this earth being tested and tried on every point and found to be absolutely innocent, guiltless. The Bible words are without spot and without blemish. And therefore, that perfect one, He was qualified to be the sacrifice for sin. And then God dealt with him in utter severity. Don't tell me sin is a little thing. All sin is against God, and every sin is serious. Now, I recognize the fact that every sin does not have the same effect outwardly, right? We understand that. Every sin doesn't have the same result or the same consequences outwardly. Some have a greater consequence. But every sin, as far as God's concerned, let's put it this way, there are no little sins and big sins with God, just sin. And if you were to have kept count today of the number of times you have sinned, which is an impossibility because you really don't know, you'd be going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You'd be doing that all day long because you sin so many times, and I do too. One writer said, how many breaths do you take during the day? He said, maybe that'll give us an indication of how many times we sin during the day. Oh my. When God examines every thought, every motive, what's the reason that you do what you do? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. When you took that mouthful of food at lunch today, it was good, wasn't it? You enjoyed it. Did you take that mouthful of food for the glory of God consciously? Lord, I receive this food for your glory. And I'll be honest, I'm not trying to be funny, but when I had my ribs today for lunch, I wasn't conscious of that. I was only conscious of the fact I don't want to get any of this barbecue sauce on my white shirt. That's what I was conscious of. But I wasn't consciously eating for God's glory. Say, Jim, you a preacher? You talk like that? Yeah. Yeah, because I'm just telling you the truth. And you just like me. I know you just like me. Because you're sinners too. That's just what we do. That's just what we are. And we have no idea of how many times during the day we do sin. But listen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, 1 John 1:7, goes on cleansing us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? From all of them. I can't calculate them. I can't tally them up. But God says, I freely, fully, frankly, all forgive. Why? The blood of my Son has washed them all away. See, that's the beauty of this gospel. And I don't... Well, I started to say I don't understand men not preaching this gospel. Actually, I do. If you haven't seen the glory of Christ and the glory of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll speak very little of that blood. You'll speak very little of the grace of God. But if you've ever seen preachers, Sunday school teachers, if you and I, if we ever get a good look at our sinfulness and then get a greater look at the price God paid to put our sins away, we'll brag on the one who did it. Don't you think that's right? We'll brag on the one who washed us. We'll brag on the one who made us the very righteousness of God. When we talk about forgiveness of sins, it means the penalty for sins is eliminated. It is not possible for God to forgive a sinner and still punish the sinner. Remember that. Everlasting punishment for sin will never happen to anybody who is forgiven of sins, because you're forgiven on account of the fact your sin debt has already been retired. That's why you're brought to faith in Christ Jesus. Forgiven people are cleared of all guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no punishment. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh or after the Spirit. And I'll tell you this. Being forgiven of our sins means divine fellowship is restored. Sin came between us and God. Well, things were fine between the Lord and Adam, till sin entered into the picture. And then, like a huge mountain, sin arose, broke the fellowship. No wonder David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, lifted off and taken away." Who bore our sins? Christ did. Well, who put them on him? The Father did. All we like sheep, all of God's sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us did. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our guilt, all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities, all of our sins were laid on Christ by the Father. He took them off of us. Isn't that wonderful? He took them off of us. We don't bear them anymore. And put them on his son. And then his son had to answer for all of them. He had to answer for your filthiness. He had to answer for your guilt. He had to answer for your iniquities. He had to answer for your transgressions. He had to answer for your sins. And the justice of God saw open season on him and punished him, and you go free. That's the good news of the gospel. And a peace comes to the heart. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But to those who've been forgiven, there's a blessed peace, a peace within. We've been forgiven of all past sins. We've been forgiven of all present sins. We've been forgiven of all future sins. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, all of the sins of many of his people, the people who hadn't yet been born, they were all in the future. They were all paid for and forgiven through his blood. Well, to what extent do we have forgiveness? Turn with me to Psalm 103. Let me just take you to a few verses. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That is one tremendous statement. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Do you know how magnificent that is? How wonderful that is? He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Watch this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them who fear him. High above the earth. I went to Google. I asked Google a lot of questions. So I went to Google and I said, because we're thinking about here the as high as the heaven is above the earth, I asked Google, how close to us is the nearest star? Of course, that's the sun, about 93 million miles away. And the next nearest star is 25 quadrillion, 300 trillion miles away. But beyond that, there are stars and planets, whatever heavenly bodies, that no human eye has ever seen. But beyond that, there's the third heaven. And the Lord says, as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how great my mercy is. Now, you talk about an immeasurable distance. You can't measure that. And then look what he says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm glad it doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. That can be measured. It has been measured. I wrote the number down here somewhere. 12,000 plus miles, about 12,400 and some odd miles. But he doesn't say as far as the north pole is from the south pole. He says as far as the east is from the west. You know, if you start going east, you will never go west. right? You'll just keep, the only way you'll ever turn, go west is to turn around and go the other way. But if you go east or you go west, you just keep on going, you'll never come to the end. That is the endlessness of divine forgiveness. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us, an immeasurable distance. An immeasurable distance. What has God done with them? You don't have to turn this. Micah 7:19 says, Thou wilt cast their sins into the depths of the sea. And the eye of avenging justice will never see them again. The deepest part of the Pacific is over 36,000 feet. No human eye will ever see that. But he's buried our sins in the depths of the sea. In Isaiah 43, turn to Isaiah 43. Just talking about forgiveness. That's what I'm talking about. Trying to help us out a little. To be appreciative of what God has done for us. Isaiah 43, look at 25. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Get that. For my glory. For mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And the word blotted out, the words blotted out, it can mean... removed the debt. The debt that we owe to God's been removed. I freely, fully forgive. It also means to exterminate. Like you exterminate pests. I live in Louisiana. Nancy and myself, Susanna and David, years ago moved to Louisiana for a few years. And I was asked to go visit a man who lived in a trailer. That's okay. And I went to visit him, and I had on actually a pair of boots, Western boots. Sitting there talking to him, and I saw something crawl across my boot. And then I saw something crawl across the television screen. It was a cockroach. And where, that's two I'd seen, and then I saw more. And they offered me something to eat. And I politely refused. I said, Nancy's fed me supper, and I don't need anything to eat. I got home, I said, oh, I got to take a shower. I said, they need an exterminator in the worst sort of way. Let me tell you something. Our sins are like cockroaches. What you see, that ain't near all of them. They're in every crevice and crack and corner of that tabernacle you live in called that tent, your own self. And here's what had to happen. God had to send an exterminator. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that killed sin once and for all. He says, I blotted them out. I've extinguished them. I put them away as far as the east is from the west. And our debts are paid. And God says, your iniquities and transgressions, I'm not going to impute them to you. I've imputed them to somebody else. Christ. and his immaculate righteousness that he established by his obedience unto death, he said, now this is yours. And we say, oh my Lord, what grace is this? What grace is this? I'll tell you what kind of grace it is. Amazing grace. And that's the song we're going to sing here at the end. You know, the last hymn we sang was written by John Newton. Talked about the name of the Lord Jesus. And this one, 236, it's also written by John Newton. But you know this one by heart. Probably don't even need to turn to 236. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's what this gospel of forgiveness is all about. Let me say one more thing. Just sit down there, Joe, and I'll be with you in a minute. Let me just say one more thing. I had a man one time, he was talking about giving his offerings to church. I said to him, you can't buy your way into heaven. He said, no, but you can't bum your way either. I said, well, it depends on what you mean by bum. When I think of a bum, I think of somebody who's absolutely broke and he's got nothing. He's a beggar. And I said, you'll go that way. Penniless, poverty-stricken, naked, helpless. Lord, I'm broke. I got nothing to offer you. And the Lord says, I freely, fully, all forgive through my Son. Amazing grace. Hey, you can get up, Joe. 236. Let's stand together. Sing all four stanzas. You know them.